Decisions, decisions, decisions. Or as Brother Chris said this morning, choices, choices, choices. We all make decisions every day, don't we? We decide what time we're going to get up in the morning. We decide if we're going to eat breakfast at home or pick up a cup of coffee going to work. We make a decision as what time we're going to bed at night. Or when we're out on those backcountry roads, we come to the fork in the road, we have to make a decision. Do we go to the left or to the right? Now, there were some brothers in Scripture who made decisions. There was many, but we're going to consider just two this morning. Cain and Abel. Cain made a decision that he would kill his brother Abel, and he did. Jacob and Esau. Esau made a decision that a bowl of stew was more important than his birthright. So Jacob decided that he would confuse his father, and he would get the blessing, the birthright for himself. And when he got it, he took off. He went to Uncle Laban's. There he saw Rachel. She was beautiful. He wanted to marry her. Well, when the marriage ceremony was completed, he found that he was married to Leah. Now, he could have taken off and gone off into that waste howling wilderness, but he didn't. He made the decision to stay with Leah. And she bore him 7 children. And now we have 2 sisters, Ruth and Orphal. And we know they were sisters because the rabbinical ancestry tells us that. And not only were they sisters, but they were the daughters of King Eglon, king of the Moabites. Now we know the story, Abimelech, Naomi, and their 2 sons. They left Israel because of the famine. They had nothing to eat. There was no food. So they went to the land of Moab, where there was plenty to eat. And they sojourned there 10 years. And during the 10 years that they were there, the 2 sons of Abimelech and Naomi married the 2 daughters of the king of Moab. And after a while, Abimelech died. And then the 2 sons, they both died as well. So we had Naomi and her 2 daughter-in-laws. And Naomi heard that the famine in Israel was over. And Yahweh had lifted the famine, that there was grain in the fields again. So she wanted to go back to Bethlehem, where she had lived before. So she started out with her 2 daughter-in-laws because they loved Naomi. They went with her. And as she went along the way, she stopped and she told them, she said, go back to your mother's house. There you will find husbands and you will live life to the fullest. They said, no, we want to go with you. So she went on some more, and then she stopped again, and she told them, she said, I have no sons in me, and if I had a son this night, would you wait until he was grown up to marry him? Go back. Go back to your gods and your people of Moab. So Orpah thought that this was probably the best way to do. She made the decision to go back to Molech and the gods and the prosperity of the Moabites, rather than go into the unknown of the land of Israel. But Ruth said, no, your God shall be my God. And where you die, I will die too. It reminds us of Jesus' parable in Matthew chapter 12. The parable of the sower. And we can think that these two wives of these two Jewish men had probably learned a great deal about Yahweh and about life in Israel. But as the parable of the sower goes, of a sow, seed was sown onto the rocky ground. It grew up for a while, but then when a decision was to be made, the grass withered and died. And we could think of Orpah in that way. But the seed was grown or sown into the good ground, and that was Ruth. And it produced fruit. Because we know that Ruth went with Naomi into the land. She went into the fields of Boaz. She got grain and she took it to feed her mother-in-law. She found favor with Boaz. And she had a son whose name was Obed, who had a son called Jesse, who had seven sons, the youngest being David, who had six sons with Bathsheba, and the younger being Solomon. So it begs us the question, did Solomon know his great-great-great-grandmother Ruth? Probably not, because she probably would have to have been 120, 130 years old the time that Solomon was born. But he wrote about her. He may not have met her. But in Proverbs chapter 31, we read in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. In the ESV, it says, who can find an excellent woman? So in verses 13 through 17, we read of Ruth. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from far. She rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it The fruit of her hands she planted a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. Verse 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes not out by night. Verse 29, many daughters have done virtuously, but thou, excellent them all, excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth Yahweh, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, let her own works praise her in the gates. We've mentioned that Ruth was a stranger in the land of Israel. So was her mother-in-law, Boaz's mother, Rahab. So what of Orpha? We know that she went back to the land of Moab. We know that Naomi told her to go to her mother's house and to her gods. The Talmud tells us what happened to Orpha. Once leaving Naomi and Ruth, she became very promiscuous. Supposedly, she became pregnant and bore the giant Goliath and his three brothers. David, of course, later killed Goliath, and his brothers were slain as well. Orpha, her name has several meanings. One is said to be double-minded. This describes her dilemma on the road to Bethlehem, when a decision was needed. Should she have been like Ruth and chose the God of Israel, as Ruth did, and go on to Bethlehem with Naomi, or return to Moab and to her pagan gods? James 1, verse 8, reminds us that a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. Some say Orpha's name is derived from a Hebrew word for neck, and it means stiff-necked or stubborn. Certainly she showed that as she turned back. As they traveled back to Israel, Naomi put Orpha to the test. Had she learned to love Yahweh as her husband had and had taught her? When the test came, she failed. She perhaps looked at the aged Naomi. She was embittered, Naomi was. Orpha thought highly of Naomi. She also saw Ruth, who was determined to go all the way with Naomi into an uncertain future. So she made her decision She made her decision in the favor of the rich and prosperous Moab. That was what she knew. Back to Moab and to her god Molech, Orpha went, and also into obscurity, vanishing from view from the side of Naomi. One woman went on to an abundant life, the other one to darkness and despair. And that is what we got on those two sisters.